truth. So we're going to be very plain with the Word of God tonight. Everybody all right? All right, well, let's go to prayer, can we? Father, we come this evening, and Lord, you are great and marvelous, and I resolve to follow you, Lord, to follow the Savior. You have the words of life. That's what we sung. Lord, I believe what we sung. I believe your word. I believe your hymns. Lord, I pray tonight that I might just do it. Lord, we hear it and we read it, but Lord, sometimes we sure don't do it. Lord, I pray tonight that you might give us the strength to do it. Lord, it's going to have to be what you do inside of me. I can't do it by myself. I have to have you. Now, Lord, and may the word of God be open to us tonight. May we look at your great truth. May we grow because of these truths. And Lord, you are true. Lord, as Austin was telling me, he preached on truth there Sunday night. Lord, you're true. And there is no other truth. You are the truth. And Lord, I pray that we might come to know the truth tonight. Please cleanse my filthy mind and my heart. Help me to be what I need to be. Give me power and wisdom, Lord. Give me an unction from above that I might be able to teach as you want me to teach this evening, to preach whatever it may be. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're looking at Ephesians, and again, we want to encourage you to each week, if you'll just read maybe just the chapter that we're in and read it over and over, then it'll help you as we go through verse by verse. All right, if you want to be bolder, read Ephesians and Colossians every day, 30 minutes. At the most, you can read Colossians and Ephesians every day, and they all go together, and that'll help us. But we're looking at Ephesians, and we're going to read down through verse 7, and then we'll go back. Everybody all right? Everybody there? Ephesians chapter 1, and we know this is a prison epistle of Paul, and it's the first prison epistle. You have Ephesians, and you have Colossians, you have Philippians, and you have Philemon. As the prison epistles, all right? And so we're looking at Ephesians tonight, and we'll go through it, and it will be in it a while. Chapter 1 has got so many nuggets that it's amazing. So let's read down through the 7th verse. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, I want to clarify something I said last week. I told you that verses 3 through 14 were one verse. What I should have told you is that it is read as one verse, because there are two periods there in them 11 verses, all right? But it is read as one verse, because you normally don't start a verse with a preposition. All right. Is everybody okay with me there? Verse 6, there's a period. And then verse 7 says, in whom. All right. So it's read as one verse. Everybody follow me? Talk to me if you understand. In verse 12, there's a period at the end of that verse that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom. Again, we have that. But it's read as one verse, just one sentence. Does everybody understand? It's read as just one sentence. Talk to me if you understand what I'm telling you. So I apologize for what I said. And when I said it was, I said it like it was directly one sentence, but it's not. Okay? All right, when we look here at Ephesians, we left off in verse 3, and we want to go back here just for a quick moment to get our mind back where we was concerning these blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Or in Christ, okay? In Christ. It's in Him. Now, what I want to remind you of, and same way we did in Colossians, is our position, who we are in Christ. We got to remember that we're not what we was anymore. We're saved. If you've been saved, you are not the same no more. You're a new creature. And everything's new inside. Now, you have to fight this old flesh, but the inside is new. And there is temptations, but there's temptations, old temptations and new temptations. There is things that we're going to do wrong, and there is mistakes. But for the first time in your life, when you get saved, Christ liveth in you. And that Christ that lives in you, it is the God of glory. It is God that lives in your heart. And we cannot live the Christian life without Him. But because He is in our life, inside us, everybody equally, all right? He's a person. He comes in. Then we are able to live as He said to live. Now, what I want you to notice here, it says, blessed be, we're giving praise to God. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what He has done. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, when we think of this, this is not gifts. These are blessings that you don't ask for. These are blessings that you don't acquire. You don't achieve them either by works or merit or anything like this. This is the benefits of salvation, of Christ being in you. These are spiritual blessings. They're not earthly blessings. They're not carnal blessings. They're not fleshly blessings. But these are spiritual blessings. Everybody understand? That's the difference. But why? Because we're spiritual people now. We get saved. We're spiritual creatures inside. We're a new creation. A new creature in Christ. So we don't have a secular life no more. We got a spiritual life because Christ, who is our life. Remember Colossians chapter 3. Christ, who is our life. Remember that? Talk to me. All right. Now, what are some of these spiritual blessings? Well, we looked at them. We're chosen. Is that a blessing? We're redeemed. Does that be a blessing? You ain't got nothing in being chosen. You ain't got nothing in being redeemed. All right? Everybody still all right? We have eternal security. You're saved forever, whether you like it or not. You ain't got nothing in that. You understand that? It's eternal security that God gives. It's a spiritual blessing that God gives. You ain't got nothing in that. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Everybody understand? Adoption. Alright? The inheritance. We're sealed. Huh? We got a promised companionship of the Holy Spirit. We have the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to ask for either one of them. We don't have to ask for the Holy Ghost to go with us because He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And we don't have to ask Him to guide us because Jesus said when the Comforter's come, He will guide you in all truth. That's one of the reasons that He comes. So He's going to do His job. He's going to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and He's going to guide us in all truth. These are spiritual blessings that we don't have to ask for that comes automatic as a child of God, and it's great. It's great to be saved. Remember that? It's great to be saved. Think about it. All right? Now, God's good to everybody. We understand that. But these are finished blessings. They're guaranteed. It's just the same as done. Everybody understand that? They're already available. They're already here. We don't have to wait on them. None of them things do we have to wait on. We don't have to wait to be chosen, redeemed, or to be saved forever. We don't have to wait on them things. It's already a done deal. Does everybody follow me? That's why I told you last week we ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought to always have a shout because of these benefits. There is no reason. Listen, everything you are living in right now, all your problems, your work, your family, is temporal. Only in Christ is things eternal. Everything is temporal, you will lose. Listen, you will lose everything that is temporal. You cannot lose anything that's eternal. And we ought to, it ought to make us joyful. Yeah. Huh? Think about that. And it's all because of Christ. Is everybody still okay? Now, the reason we have this, it says we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's all because of Christ, all right? Everybody still with me? Now, we can't lose sight of the fact that we're a believer, a new creature in Christ. We're a spiritual creation, all right? And when we get saved, now listen to me. When we get saved, we immediately become a pilgrim and a stranger to this earth. Immediately. When you receive Christ, to many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You are immediately a pilgrim and a stranger to this earth. Is that not wonderful? Now, the problem is, we don't want to loose from the hitching post. That's the problem. That's where the rub comes in. We want to stay hitched to this world, but we ain't part of it. Now, let's look at our new paper now. That was review. Everybody okay with me? Let's look at verse 4. Now, we won't get far on purpose, okay? Because we're going to go very slow. Because this has to be understood. If you misunderstand Ephesians chapter 1, the first few verses, it will mess you up completely. All right? Everybody with me? Let's read verse 4. According, now as you see, it's a continuation. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He, speaking of Christ, or speaking of God the Father, if you would, has chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Is everybody with me now? Now, we got to pay close attention to this. Now there is a revival. I want everybody to look at me now. Today we always watch these podcasts and videos and everything that is so available. And some of them are good, some of them are trash. Okay? And we need to pay attention to the Scripture. You need to pay attention to whether it's what the Bible says or what a denomination says, okay? But there is a revived attempt that's brought on by Reformed theology, all right, to promote Calvinism, all right? And these same teachers that are promoting Reformed theology and Calvinism are responsible for teaching against the King James Bible and the other versions. Okay? So you listen to what I'm telling you. Alright? These Reformed theologists and the ones promoting Calvinism are telling everybody it's okay for other versions. Well, you automatically, the big red flag there to pay attention to everything else they say. Alright? And people say, well, you're always on that. That's right. I'm going to teach the truth. Now, nobody has to believe it, but I'm going to teach it. Okay? And live stream and the internet and everything else, everybody just going to have to turn the cat around if I'm rubbing the fur the wrong way, because I'm not going to quit rubbing. Amen. All right? Everybody understand that? Do I have to turn the cat around? Because I'm not backing up on them. Okay? Now, so we're going to look close to what the Bible says, not just a word or a phrase, but the entire Scripture. All right. Now it says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, of course, that's true. It's what it says. Right? Genesis 1:1. Let's look and see what it says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'm sure we know what it says, but let's look and see. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you believe that? See, my belief is this. If you don't believe that, then none of the rest of it going to matter anyway. Alright? And then John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and verse 3. Let's look here. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 3 then says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, the reason that I give you that is simply this. All right. Them two verses together shows me that nothing just happened. That everything was planned. Can you agree to that? Alright, now it says here back in Ephesians, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Well, of course, He's God. Let's make sure we leave God where God's supposed to be and not bring Him down to our level. Alright, God is God. He don't think like us. He don't work like us. Nothing is the same. We're to be made like Him. We're not making Him like us. Is everybody still following me? Now, there's some words that we're going to be looking at in Ephesians. And these words are foreknowledge and elect and predestined. And these words all come here together with this chosen Him before the foundation of the world. And it messes a lot of people up when we discuss predestination and election and foreknowledge of God because of the people of the Reformed theology and Calvinism that teach that there are a select few that get saved. They teach a limited atonement that we'll look at later. They teach that it's already decided, that God decided who's going to be saved and who's not. And that's not true. Does God know it? Of course God knows it because He's God. Does He enforce it? No. But if He don't know it, then I need another God. Does everybody follow me? If God don't know everything, then I need a God that does. But the God of heaven knows everything. Now, so let's look at the word foreknowledge to start with, okay? Now just hang with me. We're going to stay on verse 4 for a while here. Foreknowledge, it refers to God's perfect divine awareness of future events, actions, and outcomes before they occur in human time. His foreknowledge. He knows. Everybody with me? Now, this is God's omniscience. All-knowing nature. This is God's omniscient, all-knowing nature. Is everybody with me? Also, His sovereign, predetermined plan for creation. God is sovereign. He has a predetermined plan for creation and redemption. Everybody understand that? You know there was a time there weren't nothing but God. And He made everything. Everybody understand that? He made everything. But He didn't fall down and it fall out of His pocket. He made it on a purpose. He had a plan. And before He ever made anything, He also had the plan of redemption. Okay? Of how it would work. Now, God knows what we're going to do, but He does not force us to do it. To many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the Son of God. To many that reject Him, well, they just left out. But He didn't make them reject Him. Everybody understand? He don't make people. Alright? He'll make us wish we had it. But He does not enforce, but He knows. He knows our thoughts before before we think them. Jeremiah said, and he knew Jeremiah in his womb. David said he knew him before he was in his mother's womb. There's one thing to know him in the womb. That's wonderful. But he knew David before he was in the womb. Well, where was David? Well, he wasn't nowhere. But God knew it because of God. Everybody understand? Now, that's the God we serve. Now, I want everybody to look at me. That's why we can't cow down to the devil and our faith ought not be weak, because this is the God that lives inside of us. Do you understand that? I don't know that we grasp that. This is the God that lives in me tonight. that knows everything, the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, think about it, lives inside of me. Think about that. Old, dirty, filthy sinner. No, where he lives ain't dirty and filthy. And where he lives inside of me is pure as the driven snow, because he's cleaned it up and moved inside. This flesh is what's dirty. But where God lives in your heart is clean as a pen. There ain't no sin in the place where God lives in your heart tonight. Are you hearing me? It can't be. Because he don't abide where there's sin. And that new place inside, that's why you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The God of glory. Hey, are you getting it? The God of glory lives inside of you. It lives inside of me. Now let's look on now. He knows because he is God. The past, now listen to me. The past, the present, and the future are the same as far as he's concerned. Now, that knowing something or what? When the past and the present and the future are all the same, that's our God tonight. Huh? That's our God. You go to see Philip and they'll be talking about a blessing. They say, boy, that's our God. Listen, we can't even comprehend, but he lives inside of me. Now, that's the word foreknowledge. Now, let's look at the word elect. The elect, when you read it in the Word of God, you'll read it in Romans, you'll read it in 1 Peter, you'll read, and when you read it, it's always going to be the same. It's just talking about saved people. That's about as simple as I can make it. When you read the elect, it's saved people. It's not a bunch. Now, he elects people to do things. All right? He chooses people. But when we look at the elect's sake, it's saved people. It's just saved people. It ain't before determined saved people. It's just talking about saved people. Does everybody understand that? I don't know how to make it any simpler. Well, and let's just look and see. Look in Colossians and see. Are we okay? Now, I don't usually get any comments on Facebook. Not negative. But through these verses, I may. All right, I may even get kicked off Facebook because we're not going to pull no punches on none of that. Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now, because we are the elect of God, he tells us to put on holy and beloved bowels of mercies as the elect. That's what we're supposed to do. So we see the elect is just saved people. That's the simplest verse I can show you. Is everybody okay with that? So when you see elect. Now, let's look over in 1 Peter. Are you still with me? Now, some of these things I have dealt with for 40 years. Of the false doctrine of predestination and election concerning certain people being saved and certain people going to hell. I've dealt with it for 40 years. And it's a damnable doctrine that is reviving in our county. All right? Everybody listening to me? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now look who he's writing to. To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So what are we going to look at now? Elect according to God's foreknowledge. God's plan that there would be some believers. It's not complicated. God's foreknowledge, election foreknowledge, that there's going to be some believers. All right? There's going to be some believers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Who would they? They're going to be strangers and sojourners. That's where they're going to be. They're going to be scattered throughout all that region. All right? And they're set apart for obedience. Well, that sounds like what we're supposed to be. Set apart for obedience to Jesus Christ. We still okay? Sprinkled with his blood. See, God knows where everybody was and where they is, where they're going to be. He knows where everybody's at. Everybody understand that? And Paul's just writing to these people. Everybody follow me. Talk to me if you're getting what I'm telling you. Talk to me. Nod your head. Say no, yes, no, I don't believe it. But this elect to the foreknowledge, because God already knows they're going to be scattered. There's not going to be everybody. They're going to be scattered. They're the elect that's scattered throughout all these different regions. Everybody wasn't saved. They was going to be scattered throughout everywhere. But they were set apart for the obedience in Christ. To be soul winners, to spread the gospel, this is what we're all set apart to do. Are we still okay? Paul's writing these people here to encourage them along. Let them know God understands all this. Are we still okay? Now let's look at the next word, predestined. All right, we'll find that back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Predestinated. Predestinated. Meaning, it means that God has planned and ordained certain things in advance, particularly concerning salvation. He has. This includes the adoption of believers as his children. All right. God's plan of salvation. Now let me see if I can simplify this. Before there was a star or a moon, before there was anything, before the foundation of the world was even laid, God, and we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Word, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they decided, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a world. And we're going to make a world, and we're going to make a man, and we're going to make a man out of dust. And I'm going to have salvation prepared for him because he's going to become a sinner. And I'm going to go ahead and plan on dying for him. And I ain't even made him yet, but I'm going to plan on dying for him, and I'm going to put on the same robe of flesh that I make for him, and I'm going to go down, and I'm going to walk as he walks, and talk as he talks, and live like he lived, and show him that I'm the perfect God, and I'm going to die on the cross of Calvary and shed my blood, and I'm going to let him bury me, and I'm going to rise the third day, and then I'm going to use everything that I've done and the blood that I shed, and I'm going to wash them clean in blood, that they'll be pure and holy if they'll receive it by faith, and then I'm going to make them like me, and then we'll spend eternity together. Before anything was ever done, that's what God said we're going to do. That's the predestined part of salvation. He had a plan. And if they receive it, this is how it'll work. Yes, amen. Ain't that wonderful? Yes, sir. Now, the reason that that is so important. Now, let's look on. This includes the adoption of believers. He's going to work it out. There's going to be a people. I'm going to make me a people. And they're going to be Jews. And they're going to be my father's people. And Israel will always be God's people. Always. But now when Christ come in on the flesh, he said that now there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. That now we're all going to come the same way because the cross is level. Everything's level at Calvary. And we're coming above. But there's always God's people. Always. Always. But none of God's people has heavenly promises. Our heavenly promises only come through Christ. Everybody hear me? God's people has earthly promises. But our heavenly blessings says they're in Him, in Christ. Is that what it says there? We just read it in Ephesians chapter 1. Is everybody with me? Talk to me now. So now, whether they be God's people or not, to get in with the heavenly promises, they got to come as any other sinner. Whether it be Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, because that's God's plan. That would be one with Him. Is everybody following me tonight? Talk to me if you follow me. Did he not pray in John 17 that we'll be one with him and the Father? Right? That's the purpose. That's his plan. Read John 17. As, Father, as we have planned, and we have said, they be one with me and one with you, and you and them, and me and them, and me and you, them and us. And that's God's plan. Okay? Does everybody follow me? But it's not, you saved your loss. You saved your loss. You saved your... No, no, no. That's foolishness. Okay? But that's Calvinism. And it's Reformed doctrine. Now, this includes the adoption of the believer as children. Alright? Think about this. We who were aliens, well, we wasn't born in the Commonwealth of Israel, it says. Everybody understand what Scripture says? We weren't born and we were aliens. So now we're adopted as one that was not born of that. Yeah, but we got a new birth. We're a new creature. But then we're adopted to get all the blessing, to get all the inheritance, to get everything else. Everybody understand? But that was God's plan. That's how he was going to work it. He already seen. See, he done seen the end before he ever made the beginning. Is that not marvelous? He saw an end before he started it. And he lives in you. To me, that's the most amazing thing, that Christ would live in me. All right. Now, the goal of the believer, his goal, his end goal, is that we be like him. Do you believe that? What the Bible says, let's look and see what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8. Are you getting this tonight? Romans chapter 8. This is just how saved we are. How about that? Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 28. Everybody there? If you're there, holler. Yeah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. To them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be saved. Don't say that, does it? And it's never going to be nowhere else either in the Scripture. It'll never be. It says that He foreknew and did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His plan. Has nothing to do with salvation. It's after. You'll never see election and predestination and foreknowledge discussed before you're saved. It's always afterwards. Everybody with me? It says, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, it ain't about us. It's about Him anyway. Now let's look over to 1 John, can we? Are you following me? Now this is just good old Bible doctrine, all this is. First John chapter 3, look at verse 2. It said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Everybody understand that? If you're saved, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. How come I know I'm going to be like? How come I can know that? Because it said there in Romans, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed into His image. So that's already a promise that God has given us. So I know, I don't understand what all it's going to be, but I know this, that I will be like Him and I shall see Him as He is. That's what it says. Now that's predestinated. Okay? Now, let's go back to 1 Peter. Everybody hanging with me? 1 Peter chapter 1. Now let's look at verse. We probably ought to go ahead and read verse 18 too. We'll read it again in a moment. We've got to read 18 too. It says, For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. But look at verse 19 now. How are you redeemed then? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at verse 20. Who verily was foreordained when? But was manifest in these last times for you. Before there was ever a world, the foundation ever laid, then it was always set in stone, already set in stone, that we was going to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Already, before there was anything. That's the foreknowledge and the predestination, the predestined, and all this, that's all this runs together. Does everybody follow me? That's what it means. Okay? He was foreordained to shed his blood or die for our sins. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's start at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, start at verse 1. Everybody with me? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. All right, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. All this was set in place. God already knew how he was going to do it. Now I'm going to show you in Acts chapter 2. This is a verse that nobody that's in Reformed theology, they don't want to look at it, and the Calvinists don't want to look at it in the respect that it's written in. Acts chapter 2. Because it has nothing to do with me being saved. All right? But it has to do with the Lord. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and what? Foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was ordained, foreordained, planned by God, the determinate counsel, everything was laid out that prophesied in the Old Testament that he would be before judgment, and he would be taken to judgment, and everything happened just like that. And he was foretold that he would die. Isaiah talks about it. Zechariah talks about it. The old prophets talked about it. Everything was laid out hundreds of years before it happened. To the degree that he would be born in a certain place called Bethlehem, to the degree that it would tell about them getting the colt for him to ride on. I mean, down to the very minute detail. Huh? Not about you being saved, but about Christ and what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. Everybody understand? The predestination and the foreknowledge and all these things has to do with what he does, not our salvation. Does everybody follow me? Now, let's go on. They're still on our front page here. 1 Peter 19 shows that Christ was foreordained to shed blood to die for our sins. We read it in 1 Corinthians and Acts chapter 2. Let's go back and read Revelation 13:8. Everybody still with me? Now this is vital, important teaching. Vitally important teaching. That we know these words and know how we're saved and why we're saved and who saves us. Alright? Revelation 13 verse 8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain." When was he slain? From the foundation of the world. He was slain. Well, wait a minute. He just died once, didn't he? He just died once on Calvary, didn't he? When he was 33 years old? Huh? No, from the foundation of the world. He was, when Adam sinned, the Lamb had already been slain. Everybody still follow me? Huh? Now, I see here in the scripture that God had a plan all along. You believe that? Listen to me. His actions were not reactions. Now that's important that you know that. Christ's actions were not reactions. Because he already knew. Everybody follow me? Because he had a purpose plan laid out for his glory. Now, man's sin did not bring salvation. Salvation didn't start after Adam sinned. Salvation started before there was a star made. Are you hearing me? Because if it was made after Adam sinned, then it was a reaction. He didn't react to nothing. He had a plan. You know why he had a plan? Because he's God. And he knows before the beginning and after the end. He's God. Does that excite you that he's God and that he lives in you? Huh? Are we still okay? Now, God's already had salvation when man sinned. It was not an afterthought. Why? Because nothing ever occurs to God. He don't say, "Huh, I got an idea." No. He don't have an idea. Everybody understand that? He don't say, "Huh, I know what I'll do." No, he's already done it. Because he's on a higher plane than us. Is everybody listening to me? I don't know if we get all that or not. He don't sit there and say, "Huh, well now I might be able to do that." He don't ever say that. He got the answer before you got the question. Think about that. He's got the answer before you can ever figure out what to ask him. You say, "Well, that makes no sense." That's because he's God. He ain't us. Get him off your level. He ain't on your level. Remember, he condescended from heaven to put on a robe of flesh and humbled himself to the cross and became obedient to the cross. He had to come down to our level to be a man, to die. Everybody understand? He had to come down because he's so much higher. He come down to move inside. My, think about it. How much does he know? We got a few minutes here. Can we see how much he knows? Now, I got it on there somewhere. I think it's there. Everybody look at me. God don't know all. He's all knowing. There's a difference. Now you study about it now. He don't know everything. He's all knowing. If you know everything, you know everything that is. It's got to already exist. He's got it before, way after. He's all knowing. Omnipotent means he's all power. Omnipresent means he's everywhere present at once. He's everywhere present at once. Omniscient means he's all knowing. All knowing. Everybody with me? He's all power. He don't get power. He's not given power. All power. All power. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wherever there's that in heaven, I've got all the power. Anything on earth, I've got all the power. I'm God. I'm omnipotent. I'm everywhere present at once. That's why he's in my heart, your heart. Everybody look at me. Satan is not. If Satan's bothering you, I'm glad. Because that means he ain't bothering me. Everybody look at me now. If Satan's bothering you, I'm tickled. Because that means he ain't bothering me, because he can't be everywhere at the same time. He's not on the same playing ground as God. He's a created being. And we've given him too much glory and too much credit. Are we okay? Talk to me now. That ought to make us all shout right there. Huh? But yet Christ lives in me. Do you live in you, Teddy? Do you live in you, Janie? Live in you, Paula? Live in you, Cheryl Ann? Live in you, Jane? Live in you, Jerry? Wait a minute, he lives in me. Hey, Garth, he lives in you up there. He's in you, he's in me. He's everywhere present at the same time. Wait a minute, he's in me now. Is he in you now, or do you got to get him later? He's in you now, or he's in me now? Is he in you now, or is it going to be later? He's now. He's everywhere present at the same time. You say, well, I don't understand it. You don't have to. He's God. That's why it's got to be accepted by faith. He's bigger than you are. He's bigger than your problem. He's mightier than your sin. He's greater than anything you ever come across. He's God. He's the Almighty God tonight. And you take him by faith and glory to his name tonight. Think about it. Huh? Psalms 139. We'll get there. Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, as is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon me. About me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Is that not wonderful?
Yeah.
Huh? Let's look over to 147. He said, verse 4 and 5, he telleth the number of the stars.
Yeah.
You know how many they are?
No.
Anybody here now? Ain't nobody else knows either, but he does. He tells the number of them, and he calls them all by their name. He didn't just number them. He didn't make them. He just named all of them. He named every one of them. Huh? Are y'all okay with that? That's the God that lives in you. If you're saved, that's the God that lives inside of you tonight. That he made him, he numbered them, and he named them. Huh? He said, well, what are they? Why he ain't told me all of them. Verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is measurable. No, it's infinite. Infinite means it goes on and 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 on. Huh? It don't stop. Huh? We okay? Jeremiah 23. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoy this. I hope y'all was enjoying it. I enjoy. That's why I read Ephesians and Colossians all the time. I enjoy. Huh? If I get down, I read Ephesians, Colossians. If I get excited, I read Ephesians, Colossians. I get happy, I read Ephesians, Colossians. I get sad, I read Ephesians, Colossians. I just read it all the time. Jeremiah 23, verse 23 says, "Am I a God at hand? Saith the Lord, and not a God afar off." Is he here or not?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's here. Verse 24, can any hide himself in secret place that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth?
Yeah.
Huh? You ain't going high. I know.
Yeah,
huh?
Right.
How about Hebrews? Yeah. Huh? We'll have to quit. I hate to quit. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We can quit on this, so verse 12 and 13. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts."
Yep.
Well, that's big, and the intents of the heart.
Yeah.
"Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do."
Yeah.
I think maybe he might know what's going on. What do you think? See you Sunday.